We're in Lincoln, Nebraska today for another one of the Farm Credit Services of America's Growing On meetings, which feature Iowa State University Extension Farm Management Specialist Steve Johnson. Well, Steve, you mentioned what? This is the 13th meeting in this series, you've done 13.
Yeah, 13th meeting in this series, and I still have 17 left. That will all be in Iowa, and that'll be in January. And then I crossed the Mississippi and did 3 in Illinois. So it's been a really busy fall, but surprisingly, farmers' attitudes are really reasonable, I think. I think they've lowered their expectations of thinking we're going to get a significant price rally. China's probably not going to buy a lot of U.S. beans when we see that large Brazilian crop that's coming. But I think farmers have hope, eternal hope. And I think the animal protein industry is really supportive for agriculture right now, especially beef cattle. So I think the news is good. A lot of piles of corn on the ground all over Nebraska and South Dakota. Fewer piles in Iowa, but we set record production in Nebraska, South Dakota, and Illinois this year. And you can see it reflected primarily in the basis for soybeans. There's just too much supply for the amount of local demand.
So what's going to happen here with all these soybeans? If the Chinese don't come in and buy a whole bunch, the carryover is huge.
Yep, carryover is projected to be 955 million, new record. I would guess the U.S. farmers will probably go out and plant another 85 or 87 million acres. Carryover will be extremely large for the 19 crop. So I think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year hangover. I'll just be point blank until we have a major weather event. South America would be great, but it's not in the cards. And then we're in a mild El Nino, so we'll probably have good growing conditions for next year. I think we're going to see a wet spring. I think the likelihood is that we're not going to get the number of corn acres a lot of people thought we were going to. Less fall tillage, less fall fertilizer than I've seen in 9 years. And so I think I want to protect the soybean price. We've rallied $1 a bushel from the 18th of September to the 12th of December. So we rallied $1. I think you want to reward this rally. Yeah, the basis is wide, but we've already collected 82.5 cents, that first MFP payment. Not so sure you're going to get a full MFP payment, the second payment, but I would still anticipate that we're going to put some pressure on soybeans in January when we see the size of the South American crop, now projected to be record. Record Brazilian crop. Brazilian crop is probably larger than the U.S.'s record of 4.6 billion bushels. So I'm real cautious on soybeans, but I'm real optimistic on corn. I think corn's going to be very well supported. A record number of animals being fed, increasing again in 19, probably increasing again in 20. Beef cow herd moderates, so we're not going to keep as many heifers back in the herd. Probably going to see a little bit of pressure with the dairy herd starting to liquidate. A lot of financial pressure in the dairy industry. But I think corn is the bellwether, is we're going to see corn prices likely remain in a trading range this winter. And then I think late winter, early spring, just like they have the last 6 years in a row, corn futures rally. And I think you've got to have some price objectives. The five case study farms that I studied and presenting at Growing On, their price objectives for July corn is in the 410 to 430 range. For July soybeans, it's in the 930 to 980 range. We've already ran July soybeans right up to $9.60 twice, December 3rd, December 12th. I think we're going to look back at that December double top and say, you know what? That would have been a pretty good place to start reducing some risk on soybeans. Patient on corn. Moving beans, especially if the beans are in town, commercial storage, 4 to 5 cents a bushel a month. And for corn, if the bushels are on my farm, I think I'm going to have some basis opportunities. And if I missed the winter basis opportunities because of the piles of corn that's on the ground, I think we're going to get some good basis opportunities in April and May. When farmers get really busy, co-op staff's really busy, there's the best basis opportunities. Probably futures price and basis opportunities corn sitting in the spring months. For beans, I think I want to grab futures. And if I've got beans stored on farm, let's do a hedge to arrive, or let's do a hedge for May or July and we'll wait for that basis. But we're going to start to see some better basis opportunities. We've already narrowed our basis in Central Iowa by 30 cents in the last 4 weeks. So futures went up a dollar for beans, basis narrowed 30 cents. That's $1.30 that I put in my pocket. I've got to reward these rallies in beans, and I've got to start selling the 19 bean crop. Again, target 960, 970, 980. We've already been over 970 last Wednesday, December 12th. I think farmers are going to have to sell beans, new crop beans, earlier than used to selling. It won't be the South America uncertainty. It'll be the fact that the anticipation is China's going to buy a lot of U.S. beans. China probably is not going to buy a lot of U.S. beans. The cheaper beans are coming out of Brazil, but probably not available until late January. You got about a month. Let's get her done.
I saw an article where you said farmers need to really kind of tune out what's happening with China and just kind of focus on where they can lock in some profit here.
Controlling the controllables. I've seen about 3,000 farmers, and a lot of farmers are sharing with me, they've got their lowest actual break-evens for soybeans that they've had in 15 years. Marty Merchandiser's back in Lincoln. His actual break-even's $8.08. A lot of farmers are saying below $8 is all I've got in these beans because I have above-average yields. I think a farmer has to stop, calculate their actual cost of production for 18, and break-even is defined as fixed cost plus variable cost divided by production. Make the calculation. I think a lot of farmers are sitting on $7.5, $8 break-evens. And that doesn't include profit margin, but when you're looking at selling now these cash beans that are in commercial storage or hedge to arrive for those soybeans you'll deliver in the spring months, I think when you're starting to sell $8.5 and $9 beans, throw that first half MFP payment, 82.5 cents on top of that. I've got farmers returning 20 to 25% return on investment on 18 beans, but they know their cost. There's the issue. Do you know your cost? Do you know your actual break-even? What is your profit margin? Do you have price objectives, both futures price as well as cash price objectives? We're going to leave a lot of farmers behind in 19, but I think the farms that we leave behind are the ones that are just not grasping the importance of managing crop risk. Controlling the controllables, that's the theme of Growing On 2019.
Okay, what about corn? Cost of production, what are you looking at there?
Depends on your farm. Marty's is $3.29. Marty sold 50% of his APH bushels in the spring rally, just like he does every year. He sold 80% of his APH bushels for soybeans, primarily in March, April, May. That was a great time to reward the market. I think corn, you just stay with that. It's worked for 6 years. It's going to work for 7 years. Is you finish up old crop sales and you make new crop sales, but you use, for corn, you use that March, April, May, and maybe June time frame, and you don't hold bushels back. You're selling incrementally old crop bushels. You're emptying the grain bin of corn at county fair time, not state fair time. As you get ahead of this, and the likelihood is that we're going to produce another large U.S. corn crop. It's an El Nino, a mild El Nino winter, mild, warmer than normal. I think most of your listeners would agree, oh, yeah, that's what's going on. So I think the focus should be on moving beans earlier than corn. But if you've got corn, let's go ahead and let's make sure that we've cored, we've taken the middles out of these grain bins, and there's nothing wrong with moving corn around Christmas and New Year's. That tends to be a pretty good basis opportunity. Marty's delivering most of his 18 corn crop this month, and he's going to pick up an extra nickel a bushel just for delivering around Christmas, a four-day holiday, and New Year's, a four-day holiday. And so pay attention to basis. But where we have these ground piles, especially where these ground piles are sitting around the co-ops and elevators or farmers that are putting them in white ag bags, I don't think we're going to see good basis opportunities most of this winter. But we're going to have to see a lot of those ag bags move because they're sitting in farm fields that will be corn and soybeans. So we'll put basis pressure in those locations. But most of the processors, especially the ethanol plants, whether they're wet mill or dry mill, they've got to have a lot of corn delivered every day, and we're getting 2 4-day weekends. So Saturday, December 22nd, I'm guessing that processor needs about 4 days worth of grind. And Saturday, December 29th, that processor needs about 4 days worth of grind. I think that basis could be probably in the neighborhood of 2 to 4 cents better if you can just agree to deliver those bushels along those timelines. And then you can stay long futures. Marty uses basis contracts. So he delivers 100,000 bushel, and then he stays long the July contract, waiting for July to rally into that 410 to that 430 area. And he's going to pick up another 10, 20, maybe 25 cents with the rally in the futures price. So it's not a time to get nervous about corn. It's a time to calculate your actual break-evens for corn and soybeans and reward the market, because you just grew the largest Nebraska corn crop, the largest Nebraska bean crop in history. We're going to see a lot lower break-evens than most people anticipate. Do the math. Get your pencil out. Get your calculator out. These break-evens are low enough, and we're going to see some 10 and 25% returns. And that could be as soon as today if you start to understand the implications. But I expect soybeans to trade in this 20-cent price range until we see the size of the South American crop, probably early January. I think corn will probably trade in this 30-cent price range. But eventually, I think corn will be very well supported. And I won't be surprised on January 11th that we reduce the size of the U.S. corn crop slightly, because of yield and because of the number of acres of corn that are still standing in the field. It'll be adjustment on yield. So a slight adjustment on yield probably benefits corn January 11th at 11 a.m. I don't know the adjustment will be large enough for soybeans. So the fact is let's go ahead and keep continuing to merchandise bushels, but have the importance of good records, knowing your cost of production, knowing your actual break-even, it's a controllable, and then setting price objectives, both futures price as well as cash price. And the basis will likely be supported in the month of December, and then we'll see basis opportunities again in the spring. Too many bushels need to find a home, and too many of these bushels of corn and sometimes soybeans are not in condition to be stored into the summer months. So let's continue to move these bushels periodically. But I want to stay long corn well into the spring months. I want to take advantage of the likelihood of a wet spring and the implications for not as many corn acres, but way too many bean acres that are going to be planted in 2019.
You paint quite a different picture of the financial health of farmers. And again, you know, you have the haves and the have-nots here, but quite a different picture than what we read in some of the media, national media especially, that would like to pin all these, what they say are the difficulties in farm country on the Trump administration. But you're saying that it's not as bad as they might make it sound?
No. I think 50% of the farmers that I've seen, over 3,000, are continuing to change the way they manage risk. But 50% of farmers are not changing, and especially if they don't have some diversity, they don't have livestock, especially beef cattle, or they don't have an off-farm job, I think we're seeing 50% that are really struggling. But that 50% is waiting for something to change, and that makes it easier to blame somebody. I'm not going to change. Somebody else has to change. I believe the Trump and the trade and the tariffs probably took about 200 million bushel out of demand. And other parts of the world, all right, are going to start importing our soybeans or our soybean meal, but we just grew the largest bean crop in history. 4.6 billion, there's no other year that compares to it. And we planted over 89 million acres of corn and beans, so we need to plant less acres in 19. It's not going to happen. We're going to plant more corn acres, because corn's likely the crop that could cash flow for 19, and we should plant less bean acres, but we planted less winter wheat. We had an extremely wet fall, the wettest October in Iowa history. We didn't get as much fall tillage done. We didn't get as much fertilizer done. And so I think that if we continue to stay wet well into March and April, we're going to get another 85 or 87 million acres of beans planted. And I think beans are going to be the crop that really struggle. And even if we would come to terms with China, China has been slowing their purchases down for the last 3 years. Their hog herd is shrinking as a result of African swine fever. And so I think there could be some implications in China that China might at some point in time come after our corn, because we've got, again, the most abundant supply of corn available in the world. And China's already starting to come after our pork, which says something about what's going on in China. So, again, Xi said he was coming after agricultural products as well as petroleum products. We think they're converting to natural gas to fire their power plants and away from coal. But there's nothing that indicates that he's coming after beans. And so I think this market is a buy the rumor. China's coming. Sell the fact. They're not going to buy enough beans to make much of a difference. Again, they purchased 1.43 million metric ton last week. Ken, that's about 1.5% of what they were buying 2 years ago. So even if they come after 10% of what they were buying 2 years ago, they're going to be relying upon South American crop. Brazil looks record. And so the fact is the Brazilian crop harvest will start in early January. And I think China will probably step in and buy the cheaper Brazilian beans than they will try to buy the U.S. beans. They're going to come after, I think, U.S. agricultural products, but it might not be the traditional products that we're thinking it is. We're going to have to find a home for over 900 million bushel of soybeans after next August, and I'm concerned a lot of farmers that are already in financial trouble are going to try to store these beans unpriced. Let's move the beans. Let's focus on cash flow. Let's focus on your cost of ownership. Let's focus on what it costs to store those bushels. But I think I want to lighten the load, especially if the beans are sitting in commercial storage. And I want to recognize that I'm still making money on those beans because God blessed me with record yields. We've just got too many bushels for the amount of demand. And there's where we've got to stay focused.